So it's February 8th, and Gonzaga freshman Jalen Suggs is sitting in his hotel room in Provo, Utah, waiting for his game against BYU to start in a couple of hours.
Katie Barnes is a reporter for ESPN and ESPNW.
Jalen has sequestered himself in his hotel room to watch one of the most anticipated women's basketball games of the season. The second-ranked UConn Huskies take on number one-ranked South Carolina.
I was sitting up, so I was pacing around back and forth in my room watching it.
He's pacing up and down the floor, screaming at the TV. Paige Beckers, who is a UConn freshman, is just going off.
Beckers tying it at 54.
And Paige Beckers is straight up a problem.
She goes on a tear. She scores 8 consecutive points.
Beckers from around the screen, going for the lead, trying to match the moment. Paige Beckers.
It's an overtime. UConn is leading by 1. She comes around a screen and heaves the ball toward the basket.
Back to Beckers, who will let it fly.
Yes!
The magic of Paige Beckers!
And it's a 3-pointer and it seals the game for the University of Connecticut. And Suggs is just going wild in his room.
When she hit that 3 and it bounced off the back rim and dropped, you know, I went and I was screaming, I was yelling, and I was just so happy. It's like I was at the stadium.
And as the replay hits the television, he picks up his phone and he sends a snap to Beckers.
I sent her a Snapchat and I was screaming. I was like, you're like that. You're ready to go. And oh man, I was just smiling. You know, I told her good game and I was just proud of her.
The thing about Jalen Suggs and Paige Beckers is that they've been friends since late elementary school. They grew up in the same area, and he wanted to celebrate with her in this amazing moment. And then he goes off and plays in his own game against BYU that night. Gonzaga wins by 11, and Jalen Suggs puts up 24 points.
Nembhard backdoors to Suggs, who reverses it in. How good does Jalen Suggs look tonight?
Fantastic.
And it was just kind of this magical night for these two freshman friends.
Me and Jalen are really close. It helps to have that person to lean on, knowing he goes through the same things as I do. He's my biggest fan and I'm his biggest fan, and just to have somebody like that helps a lot.
When you think Minnesota, you probably think of hockey, that giant mall, Paul Bunyan. Not hotbed of basketball talent. But two freshmen from up north are about to steal the March Madness spotlight. They also happen to have been friends since elementary school. Today, the story of how Gonzaga's Jalen Suggs and UConn's Paige Beckers became BFFs. And then a special pre-tournament catch-up with the legendary Sue Bird. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Friday, March 19th. This is ESPN Daily. Katie, it's great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm talking to you because you have this story that kind of blew my mind. And I say that because if there's one player in the men's college basketball tournament I would advise people to know about, it would be Jalen Suggs, the star of the number one overall seed Gonzaga Bulldogs. He's a freshman. They open their tournament tomorrow. Heavily favored. He's going to be the face of this whole thing. In the women's tournament, the one name I'd advise people to know about would be Paige Beckers, their star freshman, the star of the UConn Huskies, who are also a one seed and opening their tournament Sunday against High Point. They are the two faces of the game right now. They will be the two faces of the month of March. And what I didn't know until I read your story, Katie, is that they grew up 20 miles away from each other in Minnesota, and they've been friends since elementary school. How did you discover that Paige Beckers and Jalen Suggs were this close?
I had pursued a tip from my editor that was a video of the two of them playing rock, paper, scissors when they were seniors in high school. I had written about Paige before, and so I just asked her, I was like, are you actually friends with Jalen Suggs? And she said that she was. You know, it's not shocking that two kids from the Midwest who live pretty close to each other, who both played elite basketball, of course they would know each other. Of course they would be friendly. That wasn't surprising. But as I reported the story and I found out just how deep these roots go, that to me was what made this really special.
Yeah, you came into this story, I know, having reported a lot about Paige Beckers. You got to know Jalen Suggs, it sounds like, in the course of doing this, along with family members of each of them. How difficult was it to get everybody on the record to talk to you about this specific relationship?
Everyone was really excited to talk about this relationship. These two are really good friends. Their families are friends. You know, the parents want to celebrate the other one. So everybody was really pumped to talk to me.
Paige Beckers, I believe, grew up in the Minneapolis suburbs. What was her relationship to basketball as a child there?
She did grow up in the Minneapolis suburbs. And the metro area is like any other metro area. All the towns kind of run into each other. And all of these towns play community basketball in an organized way that is different from where I grew up in Indiana, where you have schools versus schools. This is town versus town. And so you sort of run into all of these people. Paige grew up in that system, and she loved playing basketball as a kid. As a second grader, third grader, she was already playing up a couple of years. There's this story that her dad told me where he was stepping in for a game and to coach because, you know, the other coach was just unavailable. And it was a community team, it was a rec team, and so everybody had to play equal time.
It ended up going into overtime, and I called the timeout, and at that point, Paige was on the bench.
Paige was on the bench, but he wanted to put her in, so he did.
And so I called the timeout, and then I put her in. And the other coach, who's actually a really dear friend of mine, told the rest, like, hey, you can't do that.
She had already maxed out her time, apparently. Mm. And so the other coach flags down the refs and is like, he can't play her. That can't happen.
She was furious. She had tears in her eyes. I think she might have even started crying. She's like, I need to be in the game. And I'm like, hon, there's nothing I can do right now. Like, you can't go in the game right now.
So poor Bob has to pull his daughter out of the game. She's demanding to stay on the court. She just is already displaying this really fiery, competitive spirit that she's become known for in her first college season.
So Paige is displaying some of the aspects that would eventually make her this nationally known character in the world of basketball. As for Jalen Suggs, who was born in St. Paul, Minnesota, what was it like for him as a kid?
Jalen's dad, Larry, tells this funny story about how Jalen was already displaying a tremendous amount of basketball acumen at the age of 2.5. He had given Jalen this, you know, Fisher-Price mini hoop.
You know, you get your same Fisher-Price one from anywhere.
Which, when as soon as he told me, I knew exactly what it looked like with the blue stem and the white backboard and the red hoop. I was like, I know exactly what this is. And at 2.5 years old, Jalen would just be popping jumpers from 10, 15 feet away.
People would come over, and he would dribble in the dining room, working on stuff and just shooting jumpers, but he never missed. Okay, he never missed when he was a little shorty. People would come over, they're like, man, that's amazing. This dude's 2.5 years old. And he's like, he can sit there and just drill jumpers.
And he just didn't miss. And so that alone sort of showed his whole family that this kid was going to be pretty good.
So given that, Katie, how did Jalen and Paige end up meeting each other for the first time?
So they met in late elementary school.
My ex-stepbrother, he used to play on the same basketball team that Jalen did, and so I would always go to the practice just to get up shots.
She would be on the side, you know, watching practice, dribbling, shooting around, and, you know, she'd come join us sometimes.
So I used to go to their practices, and then I met him, and I met his whole family, and our relationship just kind of exploded from there.
The two of them met there, and then started to get to know each other as they played more and more tournaments. And then as they both got attention for how good they were becoming, they gravitated toward each other for support, especially in high school. The thing about Minnesota is that you can start playing varsity basketball in seventh grade. And so both Jalen and Paige entered into their high school basketball systems as middle schoolers, which is something that's unique to that state.
So they begin what feels like nearly identical tracks running in parallel to each other as they move up and through the basketball world. Tell us how their careers kind of progressed from there.
It became pretty clear once they started playing high school basketball that these two were pretty good.
Beckers drives. Oh my goodness! Jalen Suggs, he's got all the tricks. He's been doing that since eighth grade.
Jalen, who's also a very good football player, won the Gatorade Minnesota Player of the Year for both football and basketball his senior season. Paige won three consecutive State Gatorade Players of the Year for basketball and then won the National Player of the Year for her senior season. On top of their high school careers, they ended up also going through the USA basketball system. They have seven medals between them. They went to Stephen Curry's Select Camp together. So they just continue to rack up awards that mirror each other, and really they're just hoarding them all throughout their high school careers.
So they both have rooms full of trophies, basically. They have a friendship that is producing more accolades than any other friendship in Minnesota, possibly in America at this point. But off the court, with their families and how close they ended up becoming, how did that develop? What was that relationship like?
Paige spent a ton of time over at Jalen's house with his family.
I love the Suggs family. I mean, I go over to their house all the time.
She would just kind of walk in looking for food, especially if one of the younger sisters had said on their story that they were cooking a barbecue. Paige would just show up and be like, where's my brat? So she spent a ton of time with them playing video games, playing pranks on Jalen's younger sisters.
Katie, what you've described in my mind is that scene in every 90s sitcom where, like, the wacky neighbor comes in unannounced from, like, stage right, and there's just the guitar riff announcing Paige Beckers is here. No knock, not needed.
Yeah, you're not wrong. That's exactly what's happening.
I'm close with Molly and Larry, his parents, and his little sisters, Jenica and J.O., so I can call them, and whenever I need anything, I know they're there for me.
She's family, so she can really come whenever and just kick it with us and laugh.
But they, you know, they are still young people. They're teenagers. They scroll through TikTok videos together. They hang out on the couch. They play Fortnite. They play 2K. They will go out back and they'll play never-ending games of 21. One of Jalen's younger sisters says that they never will actually call the game because once they do, somebody gets upset because they're so competitive. And likewise, Jalen would spend time with Paige and her family, you know, giving her little brother a hard time, getting to know her father and her mom when she was in town. So they, together as these two family units, have really spent a ton of time together and getting to know one another and are really close.
All right, coming up, how Paige Beckers and Jalen Suggs stay in touch now that they're thousands of miles away, playing on the biggest stage in college hoops.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you people wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first one or for your fashionista mom who likes to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate with them both. You can shop by price anywhere from $25 and under to, say, $100 and below. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists like for the mom who has everything. Or even pre-wrapped gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So, what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
So, Katie, I want to get to 2019 now, because that is when Paige Beckers announces her commitment to the University of Connecticut. And 9 months later, in January of 2020, Jalen Suggs announces his commitment to Gonzaga University. So, the friends that grew up 20 miles from each other, We're now going to be 3,000 or so miles apart. How tough was that for them?
It's something that I think has gotten tougher over time. January 2020 in many ways feels like a different world than the one that we're in now. And at first, you know, it's just a plane ride. It's far away, sure, but they'll see each other at home for Thanksgiving, maybe for Christmas, surely. They'll still get to be able to spend time in person with one another, and they'll still have their family's support no matter where they are. But then, as we know, the pandemic hits. Everything that was far apart now feels like an insurmountable distance. And also because of COVID protocols, that has created isolation for these basketball players. And so Paige has not been home. Jalen has not been home at all over the course of the season.
Amid a season, Katie, that is like full of stops and starts, that is forcing families to adjust to this new normal, Paige and Jalen had seasons that are worth detailing here in terms of just how impressive they are. How would you describe how they've played this year?
Just phenomenally.
Behind the back dribble for three. Yes!
Stop! Stop it, Dave. Are you kidding me? The will of Jalen Suggs.
I think above and beyond perhaps even their own expectations. They hold themselves to pretty high standards.
Becker's a three. You bet! Paige Becker's
limp. Paige was named Big East Freshman of the Year and Player of the Year. Jalen was named the WCC Newcomer of the Year. These two have had amazing freshman seasons and have led their teams to achieving at a high level. And I think have been just as good as everyone advertised, perhaps even better.
Yeah, even better. I mean, for me, Jalen Suggs being this revelation in the men's game, this revelation who is now going to be one of the driving forces of this billion-dollar tournament that we have coming up. I mean, I didn't expect that. And Paige Becker is clearly a phenomenon unto herself in her sport. How are they continuing to support each other, Katie, as they go on these dual meteoric rises?
You know, I think just being there for each other in every way they possibly can be. Jalen watches every single one of Paige's games. Paige returns the favor. They text each other. They FaceTime. They do all of the things that we've all been doing to stay in contact over distance. They take the time to talk to one another about the games, about their struggles. You know, when Paige wasn't playing well against Tennessee, except for that miraculous shot at the end, you know, it was Jalen that she talked to about some of those things. And he gave her advice about, you know, just sort of controlling what she can control and focusing on the game, et cetera, et cetera. When Jalen really struggled, I think he had a pretty rough one against Pepperdine, even though Gonzaga won by a good amount, he didn't play particularly well and fouled out in that game. Paige was there to hear about those things and hear about those struggles and to steer him back to, you know, having the ability to achieve and play at such a high level. Nobody else really understands what they're going through except for the other person. And so when it comes to dealing with that pressure, when it comes to looking for little bits of home, that's what they gravitate to.
Me and Jalen are really close. It helps to have that person to lean on, knowing he goes through the same things as I do. He's my biggest fan, and I'm his biggest fan, and just to have somebody like that helps a lot.
Paige knows me better than, you know, almost anybody, and, you know, I think the same goes for her. She's one of the closest people to me, you know, someone I can go to talk to about basketball, about life, about, you know, whatever I have going on. She's one of the most important people in my life.
I think the fact that they share the same home, that they know intimately where the other comes from, that they've spent all of that time as kids and as teenagers and now as young adults together and shaping one another. Their basketball games have shaped the others. You know, their emotions have shaped the others. And so in that sense, I think that connection is really unique.
Are they going to be watching each other's games in the tournament then as they both proceed here in the most intense time of year for each of them?
I have no doubt that they will be watching every single minute that they can of the other's games. As we know, there's a lot of basketball right now. It's an intense time.
So much basketball, Katie.
So much basketball. And they're going to consume that for one another. You know, they love playing under the brightest lights possible. And so I have absolutely no doubt that the other one is going to be cheering just as loud from afar as they would be if they were actually sharing an arena.
So I want to look into your crystal ball here for a second, Katie, because Jalen Suggs is now an NBA draft prospect. He's a legit possible lottery pick. He's probably going to go pro. This is his one shot at this tournament. Paige Bueckers is probably going to do three more years at UConn. She'll have more opportunities after this. What would a Jalen Suggs and Paige Bueckers double national championship mean for each of them?
I think that is something that would be incredibly special for the two of them. The opportunity to win a championship is something that they both absolutely crave. Then there's that layer of getting to win it the same year as the other one and having the opportunity to share that between them. That's something that would be unique. But then both of them really care about bringing home a championship to Minnesota, even though they don't actually play for anyone in the state of Minnesota. They care about that, about putting Minnesota basketball on the map, as it were. We came from there. We want other kids who do look up to us to see this amazing possibility, and we're going to do it together the only year where that is probably going to be able to happen. It's a tremendous amount of motivation for both of them, and even though they probably wouldn't admit to thinking about how possible it is, I know it's a definite driver for them.
So let's take it full circle here, Katie, and go back to Minnesota. I want to go to the scene that ends your piece. Back to these local gyms, these local school courts where Paige and Jalen play each other in one-on-one, lifelong friends who just happen to also be the best basketball players in the country and hyper-competitive. What are those games like?
They are full of taunting and trash talk in the best way. There is a game where Jalen was talking to Paige, like, I'm going to dunk on you. And Paige ends up picking his pocket, getting the ball in the corner, looks right at him, blows him a kiss, and then drains a three. Like, that's the level of trash talk we're talking about. There's a game in April that they both still talk about.
So we played one-on-one last year. It was 2-11, and I'll never forget it.
It was really back and forth. She was on fire that day. She literally couldn't miss.
I was up, I think, 10-9 or something like that. And I had him. I think about this like when I fall asleep. I had him, and then I didn't cross back over to get my jump shot off. I picked it up instead. And that was one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made.
She talked about that for the rest of the day, and she still talks about it to this day. If I would have just drove, I would have beat you.
So he actually came back and won, but he's not going to tell you that I had him in the bag, but I definitely did, and I'm going to beat him next time, but I just want the people to know that.
They still tease each other about it, even though this game happened months ago. So I have a feeling that the next time they play, it's going to be similarly competitive. And if Paige manages to pull off a win, I expect a phone call, honestly.
Katie Barnes, I'm going to make you promise to call me after she calls you.
Oh, I will do that. I promise you.
Okay, up next. I make a call to our special women's tournament correspondent, the great Sue Bird.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Here's another story I want you to know. You just heard about Paige Bueckers, who's playing in her first NCAA tournament with the UConn Huskies. But there is one UConn alum that we really needed to call up before the tournament got underway to see how she's feeling about her team. Our old friend, Sue Bird. First things first here, how do you watch the tournament, Sue? Do you have, obviously, as a UConn alumnus, as one of their greatest players, do you have rituals? Do you have like a whole setup? How does this work for you?
No, I'm just like everyone else. Sit down in front of my TV and you know, try to catch the last. Well, it's actually funny. This is going to sound like I know exactly what it's going to sound like. I'm still going to say it. For UConn games, generally speaking, in their regular season, and maybe even some early games in the tournament, I like to catch the first 5 minutes. Because after that, it gets a little compelling. But every other game, I'm usually like searching, you know, like seeking out the last 2 minutes of a game. That's usually how I watch the NCAA tournament. Just which game is in the latter minutes of the fourth quarter.
That was some of the most magisterial trash talk I've ever heard. I sometimes watch the first 5 minutes of UConn games and then it gets boring from there, is what you just told us.
I didn't say it like that. I said I like to watch the first 5 minutes for some, you know, it gets a little less compelling after that. Not against the ranked teams. Ranked teams, so UConn games, NCAA tournament, I'm glued. I'm all in, all 40.
I cannot wait for this to become like, can we make podcast bulletin board material? Can we send this to whoever? High Point, I believe. Is it High Point?
I don't know. I'm sure someone will pick it up. I'm I don't know about you. I'm finding in this new like Clubhouse Twitter space world, it's you know, it's someone's always jotting it down. Somebody's there to put your quote on some like other place. So yeah, learning that the hard way.
So I want to get a sense of like what you might tell yourself, Sue, if you were giving advice to your younger self or one of these UConn players right now who are going into this wildly weird bubble. So what advice do you have for the young people going through this?
You know, it's funny. The advice I have would not play 20 years ago when I was in college. But it's something I do during the WNBA playoffs, which is stay off social media. Mm. And with the bubble, it's tough because it's so much downtime. You're in your room, you have like nothing to do. So it's tough to stay out of that social media. But I think that's my piece of advice.
So you think you could have taken that advice if social media existed when you were playing? You would have been in, what does LeBron call it? Zero dark 30-23 mode. You would have been able to engage in that.
I mean, it's funny because now I told you I do it during the WNBA playoffs. And someone actually recently asked like, oh, like, what do you do? You know, if you're not on social media, like, what are you doing in the downtime? Like when you're on your phone? And I was like, oh, I'm looking up real estate. Like, what do all 40-year-olds do? I'm checking out the real estate.
I need to hear about your Zillow surfing because obviously I am also doing this. I'm fantasizing about being in like Montana these days. Where are you hypothetically trying to live?
So the first thing I do is always check Seattle. I just, you know, I got to keep my finger on that pulse. I got to see what's going on around me. So that's usually where I am. And I'll like randomly send Megan spots and I'll be like, what about this one? What about this one? Meanwhile, we have no desire to move, but it's still fun.
Of course.
Otherwise, it's actually funny, you know, because this season in the Wubble, Diana could have been like one floor away or, you know, where we played. It was all the locker rooms. She could have been two locker rooms down. We send each other vacation spots all the time. She'll be like, what about this one in Hawaii? What about this one in Cabo? Hey, what about this timeshare? Hey, what about... So that's basically, it's either Seattle or vacation spots.
So I want to ask you what it's going to be like for your alma mater without Gino there. Because Gino Auriemma tested positive for COVID. Another assistant, Shay Ralph, just also left because a family member of hers tested positive. So there are now two coaches left on UConn's staff. What's that going to be like? Tell me like just the dynamic when something like that happens, although obviously nothing like this has ever really happened before.
Right. So there's two ways to look at it. I think the obvious way is it's like when, you know, your teacher's out and there's the substitute. It's just a little different. You're getting away with a little more.
They're rolling out the AV cart with like Jurassic Park on it.
Yeah. It's movie day. So there's an element of that where I think they're going to miss him. And he's obviously, you know, the head coach for a reason. But like low key, like Chris Daly, I mean, she definitely, she gets love, probably not enough love. She's been by his side since like literal day one. She is just as much the heartbeat of this program as he is. In fact, you could ask any former player. She's the one that, you know, is yelling at us in practice, that is nitpicking us, that is on us about the details. And those details are what make UConn the program it is. And they also have a former player in Jamel Elliott. She's a former assistant. She was the assistant when I was there. She went on to coach at Cincinnati for a little bit. So she has that head coaching experience. So yeah, it's not good that he's not there, but they're totally like, they are well equipped. They will be fine. And like low key, I bet the players are kind of like, well, this isn't so bad. And then when he does come back, I think it'll give him a boost. Like when he gets back, they're going to be so hype.
I assume, by the way, I assume you have UConn winning this. Am I being presumptuous in saying that Sue Bird has picked the UConn Huskies to win the women's tournament this year?
No, nope, you're right on the money. The other day, actually, LaChyna Robinson made me choose someone else. But
in your heart of hearts, I mean.
Oh, no. Yeah. My bracket is UConn 100%. No doubt.
So when you see the pathway that UConn has, What is standing in the way that gives you more than 5 minutes of concern, Sue?
There's a few things. So first of all, my hopes, I'm looking at my bracket right now. My hopes lie with, I want to see Iowa and UConn in the Sweet 16. Iowa has a really exciting player, Caitlin Clark. So this is how I would word it. So now ESPNW can swoop this as a quote. I think Paige Bueckers is the best player in college, but I think Caitlin Clark is the most exciting player in college. Mm. She pulls up from anywhere, hitting long range threes. It's like, I said to somebody else, it's like Jimmer Fredette vibes. Like That's, you know, and Jimmer Fredette in the tournament, that was exciting. So I think she has to carry her team. So that could be fun. So that doesn't make me nervous, but I want to see it. The one that makes me nervous, if they do get to the Elite Eight, which I assume and hope so, Baylor. Baylor makes me nervous.
What about Baylor makes you nervous, Sue?
Yeah, they're big. Their inside game is legit. And UConn is more of like a, you know, they're like, they have Olivia Nelson-Adoda who kind of controls the paint, but otherwise, like they're fairly undersized. Aaliyah Edwards holds it down too, but they're fairly undersized. Whereas Baylor likes to pound it inside. They've got big players. The other thing they have is size at the perimeter and DeeDee Richards that could guard a player like Paige, or at least give her trouble. Size is always going to be something that a guard is going to struggle with. So not that Paige can't handle it. They're still going to get by Baylor. But that's what makes me nervous.
So give me your final four and give me your title game.
Okay. So my final four is, there's not going to be many surprises, but I'm going to go UConn. I do think Texas A&M is going to get to the final four. It's actually their 10-year anniversary of when they won. So it's just like good vibes. I think Stanford will get to the final four. And I actually think Maryland will get to the final four.
Ooh.
And then from there, I'm hoping for a Stanford-UConn battle in the final game with UConn coming out on top. That's my hopes.
I just want to point out that beyond just hoping, Sue, you have now given bulletin board material to not just UConn's opponents, but also to Paige Bueckers. So thank you for all of the headlines that we just made in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, you know, listen, that's apparently what I'm here for. I mean, what do people expect me to say? Of course UConn's going to win it all. Like, what are we talking about? And I picked like all number one seeds and two number one seeds and two number two seeds. It's not like I went on a limb.
Sue Bird, the queen of chalk, I thank you for your humility.
Anytime.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Andy Tennant, Eve Troe, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vale. Special thanks this week to Garrett Lang, Mike Cambereri, Mike Philbrick, Mike Urinaga, Max Brodsky, and Jackson Ugelo. I'll talk to you Monday.